B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. Let's go to your calls. Thanks for hanging on, Al in Brookfield, with a Red Sox item. Hi, Al.
Yeah, I got a question on Eduardo Rodriguez. Why do the Red Sox hang on to him? His pitch count is so high all the time, and he can't make it to the fifth inning. And we traded Andrew Miller for him.
Well, Andrew Miller was going into free agency, so that's not exactly accurate when you say they gave up Andrew Miller. It's not like they gave up any real time of Andrew Miller. Okay, all right. You want to refute that? That's fine.
He was one of your, or still is one of your better young up-and-coming pitchers.
I'll tell you why.
You
first
gotta
of all,
give the kid some time.
That trade was worth it. That's not a bad trade. You think that was a bad trade?
No.
I don't think it was either. So I would disagree that somehow it was bad because they gave up Andrew Miller in his walk year.
I mean, it was bad when Cleveland beat
your ass. The season had fallen apart, and they could have signed him back, and they almost did from what it sounded like. I'll tell you why. Because when Eduardo Rodriguez gives a damn, and when he's pitching well, he's really freaking good. That's why they have him here. But it's hard not to notice the way he was called out in the playoffs last year and was basically buried by his manager.
Yeah.
The way his manager sort of called him out a little bit in spring training this year, the way Dana Lavangi sort of did it himself about a week ago, they sound sort of done with this guy. You've got to wonder if they're headed for a divorce, the Red Sox and Eduardo Rodriguez, because it just feels like they're not getting out of him what they want to get out of him, that they expect him to be better.
Yeah.
And the fact that they've sort of...
I can see that.
Thrown him under the bus, and maybe that's too harsh to say that, but the fact that they've been willing to speak out publicly against a player, which modern-day managers and coaches almost never do.
That means everything else in-house and stuff they've tried to use to get him going hasn't worked.
But it also leads you to believe that they think it's somehow work ethic-related, that he's not doing enough of the work, that he's not prepared enough for his starts.
You know what it does, too? And if the other players are there and they see it, and you're gonna treat this guy the same as others, that doesn't reflect well within a clubhouse. I think there's a sense of accountability that I think Cora does a good job with these guys with. And if you're gonna publicly put it out there, I think it makes him look. I don't want to say he's doing it to make himself look good in a clubhouse, but it's to be fair. And Cora, if you bust your ass, then Cora compliments you for it. That tells you give this kid's not.
Yeah, I just think they're getting tired of him, and so I would not be entirely shocked to see him get moved at some point this season. You know, Red Sox looking for bullpen help down the road. Maybe he's a chip. What's funny?
Cookie Mom and Lenny just texted me to tell you happy birthday.
Okay, thanks. Chad's at Hampton Beach. Chad.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Yeah, Rodriguez, if they do get rid of him, they better get something because he does have this stuff. I think the last straw with him was, remember he didn't cover the base in the World Series?
And then that was like the death of him in the playoffs.
Yeah, but on the Sox, I mean, this slow start, this sleepwalking, I mean, this could be Cora's real test when you think about if they have a bad homestand, because he wasn't tested. They went wire to wire more or less last year. And everything, they ain't hitting. They ain't starting pitching. The biggest question mark was the bullpen. They've been the only thing that's been half decent. When you think about it, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem has been the starting pitching so far.
Definitely. They got one quality start and were 11 games at 3-8, right?
Yeah.
That's the record.
How many quality stats? I mean, Seal pitched one decent game when he left the
Price,
run.
Price
right
was good out of the gate, but they lost. I think he gave you your best start out of the first five.
Right. And the Yankees are starting to play good, too. So you got to smarten up here and get on the ball. Thanks, guys.
All right, Chad. Appreciate it.
Like Chad.
It's early. I'll keep saying that another couple days. Get a couple games here. Let's see how this two-game Toronto series goes. A two-game series.
Settle in on them, yeah.
George in Framingham on Yacht Rock. Hello, George.
Yeah, hello, guys. How are you?
Hello, George.
Hello. So what do you got? Goes, I don't see why. How about the Allman Brothers?
What about? What, I'm just.
Why weren't they part of the set?
I have no idea.
Hello,
I can't answer
Clever
for that.
George.
I can't answer for that. I have no idea. I don't know.
Isn't Jimmy Buffett like the ultimate yacht rock?
No, no,
no, because no. What?
That's a cult. No,
I don't think that's really a yacht rock song.
That's cult like.
All right, who is the quintessential yacht rock artist? Is it Christopher Cross?
I think Christopher Cross has to be the quintessential guy.
Hall and Oates has to be up there too. Right?
Yeah, they're in the group. Yeah.
Richard Marx.
I would say someone like. I would say groups like Steely Dan is a group. That's sort of a yacht rocky group.
Doobies.
Peg, yes.
Doobies.
They played Peg. Peg was on the set list.
Not too many Allman Brothers songs that would qualify.
Fleetwood Mac is yacht rocky.
Then you've got like a lot of one-hit wonders in there.
I saw Paul Simon, You Can Call Me Al.
Yeah, that's not yacht rock.
No, that's awful.
No, but
he walks down the street.
But then you've got like those one hit, like Atlanta Rhythm Section and Ambrosia and all of those groups, right? All sort of those one hit wonder type of groups.
This is making me hate
that had like a song or Brandy, right?
Yeah, Looking Glass, Brandy,
Looking Glass.
This is making me hate the weather.
It's a lot of those, you know. Kenny Loggins.
That's selective Kenny Loggins, like. You don't want to go into the danger zone, man.
They played This Is It. Kenny Loggins, This Is It.
That's a good cruiser.
And they didn't play it last night, but that is one of those yacht rocky songs.
I'm all right.
Nope.
It's not.
Nope.
Selective Kenny Loggins.
No, the two Kenny Loggins ones are Heart to Heart and what's the one I just named? This Is It. Heart to Heart and This Is It. Kenny
this
Loggins.
Is really,
those are both yacht rock, like perfect yacht rock songs. Okay. There you go. That's what I could say about that. Trisha on the Celtics. Hi, Trisha.
Hi. Hi, guys. Happy birthday, Beadle.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention, and Beadle, not to disagree with you on your birthday, but don't you think Marcus Smart brings an intangible?
Yes.
That, okay.
That's me.
No, that's yes. So. No, but I agree. He does. His intangibles are probably his best quality.
And, you know, you want someone to be there. And I appreciate Kyrie's talent. He's fabulous. But he doesn't always want to be there. And that can be a bad vibe for the rest of the crowd.
Well, this is what I think, Trisha. I think that his intangibles are what makes him valuable. Marcus Smart's intangibles of being the guy, you know, the junkyard dog, you know, lay out on the floor for the loose ball, fight for the rebound, all that stuff, right?
The
fight, the anger, all that stuff. He brings something different that the rest of this team sorely lacks. But number one, his intangibles have not rubbed off on anybody on this team. Nobody has tried to emulate Marcus Smart, and I don't think that they've gotten any sort of real... Again, this is not about Marcus Smart. This is more about the rest of the team. I don't think they've gotten any real spark off of Marcus Smart at times. And if you're asking me what I would prefer, the talent or the intangibles, the talent of a Kyrie Irving, this is not even a fair comparison. Or Marcus Smart's... Give me Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, it's like the best thing is
Marcus Smart.
How are
you going to win the playoff series? With Kyrie Irving is how you're going
to
win.
Marcus Smart is kind of like coming off the bench. You know, if you're one start to get tired, you bring that guy off the bench, and it's that change of pace, that attitude, that intensity where you get a little different type of flow in the game. That's where he's at his best.
But I get why Celtics fans are panicking if Marcus Smart isn't going to play.
You lose your edge. You lose your edge.
Because you're obsessed with him.
You know what it is, too? It's like
Oh, my God, Marcus Smart is plus minus and how freaking great he is.
You're right from the sense. As a green teamer, you've been conditioned.
The green teamer should be panicking today. You should be in the fetal position in the corner of the room crying about Marcus Smart's injury.
You can say the same thing about Baines.
Panicking, like you said, to win the first round or panicking to make a deep run?
Deep run.
Yeah, absolutely. Panicking to make, if they're going to make a deep run.
Well, no, if he's that important, then you're in danger in the first round. You lose such a key piece. The panic should be at the same level as Kyrie of a year ago.
Well, I mean, when you lose Baines, you always said, you know, you kind of lose that edge, that intensity, that guy in the paint. It's a different one with you don't feel that way.
Kyrie went down a year ago. We were actually at Fenway. It was opening day.
Anybody think they were going to lose in the first round with Kyrie going down?
I thought they're going to get blown out
in the first round.
We go they should make it through the first round, but who knows?
I don't know. I just remember that time where you just had a bunch of kids and you just thought, wow, that's it. Like when you lose that caliber player right before it starts, you're thinking you're dead in the water. I thought they're dead in the water. dead water when he went down.
Action update right here from the guys in the desert, and we are back on Zolak and Bertrand. More on the Red Sox from their weekend. They dropped 2 of 3 to Arizona. Somehow, some way.
They haven't had a home game yet.
Opening day at Fenway coming up tomorrow, and Chris Sale wants everybody to really focus on the fact that they haven't played a home game yet.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chris in Rhode Island today has a Celtics thought about where they're going in the playoffs. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hi. How's it going? I just wanted to call. I think that the Celtics will make it past the first round, but I really would be worried about Milwaukee, and I would be worried about Toronto because I understand that Gordon Hayward's playing better, but it's almost like the playoffs, you're playing better defenders, you're playing better teams. You can't be 100% sure that he's going to continue this.
What do you think you're seeing?
Playoffs.
Wait, you can't tell me that because you're playing better defenders, you're worried about not having Marcus Smart.
No, I'm saying...
Oh, you're talking about just Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward,
okay,
yeah,
right.
Be able to continue
sorry,
the
that hit a wall. My mistake.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
okay, no, I get what you're saying.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, you continue.
All right, and I just wanted one other point, and it really has nothing to do with the Celtics, but where do you... Because for me... I feel like Harden, with all the historical things that he's done this year, it should be a landslide. If they're going to give it to the best person on the best team every year, then why don't you give it to Steph Curry or Kevin Durant every year for the Golden State Warriors?
Okay, well, we missed the first part of your point there because it cut out. But what was it about? MVP?
It was just the MVP. Yeah, I want to know what you guys stand on the MVP. I think it should go to Harden and just because of the historical significance of his season.
I give it to Harden, but I really don't care.
I'm with you on that.
I don't care all that much.
I really can't stand the MVP in any sport.
Every year it devolves into a conversation. Well, he's not the most valuable. He's the best player. Or they're giving it to him.
Yeah, you don't know what the reward means.
But he's not the best player.
It's going to be Giannis or Harden, and either one deserves it. Both of them deserve it.
You look at Giannis's stats consistently across the board.
He's great. So is Harden.
Yeah.
So it's sort of hard to do.
It's tough to argue the other guy. It's tough to argue the other guy shouldn't win.
Should be Harden. You're right. It should be Harden. That guy carries his team.
But would you be upset if Giannis wins?
He's
had a great year too.
It's almost like Harden benefits.
Giannis
from his
is averaging 28, 12 and a half and 5, I think. And Harden's averaging 36 points, 6.5 rebounds, 7.5 assists.
Wow.
But who's more valuable?
Oh, God. You don't understand what the reward means. It's the most valuable. I hate this discussion.
They should change it to best player.
Oh, my God.
Or player of the year.
Yes, player of the year.
The most valuable thing, people get caught up on that. Because it's never in any sport really voted on who's the most valuable guy. It's always based on who had the best year, who played the best. That's what it's for. Let's go to Jeffrey in Marlboro. Jeffrey, what do you got?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey.
Just two quick points, and then I'll hang up and listen. I just wanted to get your take on a player like Al Horford. Do you think his role changes going into the playoffs, being a veteran player? And more importantly, my second point, when you're making a pizza at home, do you use sauce or salsa?
A sauce? Who would use salsa on the pizza?
Salsa. Salsa as the sauce.
Yeah, maybe
do that?
A little Mexican flair to it.
Oh, it's much
it's almost
more
like,
tasty.
You know, it's almost like? Like a massive taco.
Yeah, it's like a big taco.
Would
but
you put
like,
your...
You got a, You got to get the oven to like 500 degrees.
Yeah, would you put shredded lettuce on it after?
I would put shredded lettuce on it after, yeah.
I might be in then.
Yeah, maybe some you got to do that. You got to go with the salsa.
That's
like a nice
interesting. That's called quesadilla. You may have heard of it.
They call it quesadilla.
You take the tortilla that you just made this pizza on, and you put another one right over the top when you're done. And it's called a quesadilla. I think that's more your speed than pizza.
A little sour cream.
That's called quesadilla.
I could see a thin crust. Okay. You put the salsa, some ground beef, and some Mexican cheese.
Man,
it's got to be specific. It's not the one. Like, it's not your pizza you're making, but it's got to be a specialty.
It's a specialty.
It sounds good.
And this is like I told you that story.
I'll just have a burrito.
Give me the Big Mac pizza.
You want Mexican? Eat Mexican.
You ever have Thousand Island on
you
your pizza?
You want a pizza? Get a pizza.
Mm.
Mexican pizza.
Pickles. Mm, lettuce.
Taco Bell Mexican pizza.
You guys like grilling pizzas? Like outside on the grill?
Yeah.
Phenomenal. They come out so good.
Yeah.
I've never done it.
I haven't done it, but I know that that's a very popular thing to do.
You got
to
put low heat, put it on top of low heat, but then the burner that's like uncovered.
Well, I know that, put that up high
and then close the top.
God, all right. I know that the best the best grill for that is one of the round Weber grills. And then I know that those pizza attachments are very, you know, it goes between the cover and the grill.
You guys ever
remember that guy who was making them for a while around here?
Yeah. You guys ever think about getting a green egg?
No.
I mean, everybody I know that has a green egg, all they do is talk about it, like the charcoal taste and how the wings taste and cook on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're pricey.
I just want to eat.
Like, it's different. It's too much prep to get the grill ready.
What's that? You have the smoker in the keg.
I have a keg. I smoke out of a keg.
Yeah, I want one of those.
Have you ever used it?
Yeah,
he does. He puts it in the driveway.
I send pictures
every
to
time he uses it. He sends me a picture. It makes me very jealous.
Put the Adirondack chair right next to it, and I'm sitting there for about 4 hours, man.
You don't move.
I find that hard to believe you're going to sit for 4 hours.
I am in and out, but the coolest thing,
you can't sit here for 4 minutes.
Do you know the little ball bearing you're supposed to depress, like that round thing at the top of the keg? He knocked that out.
How you do that? You stupid ball bearing, you're worthless.
And all you do is you take a tennis ball or baseball and you put it on top there to adjust. You got to keep adjusting the heat and airflow. Like that's it's kind of neat.
How about the outdoor pizza ovens? You ever seen one of
those?
Too
much work. You got to get the fire going. You got to get that.
A buddy of mine's got one.
You got to get it too hot.
Well, here's the problem. It's like, you got the pizza oven. He goes, oh, no, I didn't get the fire going. I'm like, well, get it going right now. Oh, no, you got to. I got to start that fire like at
2 hours.
6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You guys are here. It's only, you know.
Those bricks
it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So hot, you put it in for 3 minutes and your pizza's done.
When he's done it and when he's had people over and done pizzas, do you know how long it takes to do a pizza in one of those outdoor pizza ovens?
Six minutes.
Less.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
Boom. You get that thing in there. Pop,
but you got to do like 20 pizzas. You don't do all that work unless you got all these people around.
Yeah, everyone's eating at different times. You got to like throw them down. You got to,
it's like having a boat.
Cooking pancakes for my kids. Like it just, you know, one kid eats his pancake while the other one's like, where's mine? I'm like, it's on the, it's give me a second. Would ya?
<Where's> mine.
That's what you get.
Plus you got to split it up three ways. You got them different. Oh, I don't know how your wife does it.
Split
matching meals. You should see the meals she does. She has little trays.
She's very good to
them. They separate, and it's all three identical meals. Well, it's boys. Like, they're not different meals. They all eat the same meals.
They all eat the same meals?
Yeah.
Not always.
Well, I mean, all the matching.
Yeah. Like lunches?
Laid out.
It's like an assembly line.
Well, I guess you have to if you have three.
Yeah.
That's on you.
How was that morning today when you guys woke up?
That is my problem.
Head hurts.
Seth is in the car. Seth, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I just kind of wanted to talk about the Celtics and the eventual demise of the Celtics. And it's tough for me to kind of talk about this because I'm a diehard green teamer, so I don't want to see any of this happen. But what I've seen over the past few games and even this year is that Kyrie and Gordon don't even seem to really like each other. I mean, the other night, 3 nights ago, I think it was, the first back-to-back of that Heat-Celtics matchup, Kyrie and Gordon have like a breakaway layup end of the half. Gordon makes it and can hardly even look at Kyrie after. Doesn't slap his hands. They're not really ever cheering for each other. And I think that if Kyrie leaves this year, it's going to have a lot to do with him seeing that Gordon Hayward's not going anywhere. And I don't think that he really cares to even be around him.
When have you ever seen Gordon be that emotional guy, though?
Yeah, like I'm not over here like claiming to be a diehard Utah fan.
Yeah,
I've watched them. So over here, I mean, I haven't seen too much of them. And I've seen Gordon and Butler having fun with his teammates. I've seen them
at Utah having fun with his teammates. And, I mean, it's not him necessarily not having fun, but, I mean, you guys see Kyrie's bad attitude. He's not talking to anybody. He's yelling at everybody. He's acting like LeBron, I guess. I don't want to say that.
Yeah,
but.
No, I mean, for no question it's been a grind for this entire team this year. It's not been a fun year. It hasn't been an enjoyable year. For everything you expected, how you felt going into this year, it's been awful. They can change that. That's the great thing about this, though. Like, you could change that in a couple weeks. It seems like they have somewhat turned a corner here. I just hope Smart's ready to go. Hope he's healthy. I think you're going to need him.
Hardy has headlines, and we are back with I want to get back to some of the Red Sox quotes, because the manager and the player being David Price singing two different songs also.
And we got a weather update.
Chris Sale on the team to this point. And you've got a weather update for tomorrow?
Yeah, bring your umbrellas, people.
Okay, we'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zo and Bertrand.
Huh?
Is this Blues Traveler?
Yes.
And they want to see me running around with my chauffeur. Put
it in my pocket. Pedro Gomez, ESPN. What's going on with the world champion Red Sox, who have their home opener tomorrow at Fenway?
Because the heart leads you back.
A couple of differing quotes in this story. David Price says that he hopes the team is met with cheers at Fenway Park. Says, I don't think anybody has ever gotten their World Series rings and gotten booed. So I think we'll get cheered.
How many does he have?
That's what David Price has to say. He's got one. He says of the current situation, David Price, it's frustrating. Everybody in here is frustrated. But we've been through a lot together, this group of guys, over the past 2-3 years. So we'll be okay. That's what he's saying. Meanwhile, his manager, who's always playing it cool, said the complete opposite. There's no frustration. We just keep grinding. We show up tomorrow. We go home. We'll see the family on Monday, hang out with the kids, all of that. Kind of put everything into perspective and move forward. Which guy do you believe?
Oh, Price.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah, I would hope that it's frustrating.
That's why I think the bet stuff is being talked about within, like, he's not being marketed enough. I don't think Price just sits there and makes that stuff up. I think he's giving you something there. What? And they should be pissed. They should be frustrated.
I don't know what one has to do with the other.
Because, though. I mean, we sit there and, like, well, I mean, when these players talk, I think I'd take more out of what the players say or what they mean more so than what the how the coach is going to spin it or the manager. Yeah, I believe Price on this. They should be pissed. They should be frustrated. I mean, like I said, you're scratching and clawing now for a month. You're trying to tread water. It sucks.
I got to say, though, Price was asked about the thing with bets. It wasn't like he brought it up on his own.
Oh, okay.
He was asked about it on Friday. Those quotes are from Friday on bets.
Well, it seems like this is an easy right for Gomez, too. Okay, there's head coming back home. Are they going to get booed? Let's go to Price for it. He's an easy, you know, easy sound clip here. And maybe he'll say something. So I don't think anybody's ever got booed to get a ring. He's reminding you, we're getting our rings. Don't boo us. Yeah, that's part of it. Players don't want to get booed. You hate getting booed. Who likes to get booed? And you shouldn't boo the team tomorrow. I think you're going there to recognize what they did pregame. If you're going to the opening and be in your seats by 12:40, they said 12:40, 12:45, 2:05 start. Get ready for the opening ceremony, which will have rain showers to begin at first pitch, 2:05. Steady rain showers.
There's the weather update.
Weather update.
And there it is. They'll get heavier later in the day. Cindy Fitzgibbons was up, and she had those red bands moving across the area. That Doppler. Good stuff. So, a lot of rain tomorrow, folks. Get ready for it. And chilly temperatures.
So, 43 degrees in rain?
Yeah.
Oh, that stinks.
That sucks.
That's not good. Zero.
That is fun to see.
So, you said there's a lot of red bands moving through?
Red bands.
Does that mean there's a chance of a cancellation, a rain out?
No. Can't do that.
Why? It's happened before.
They have the day, right? The day after?
It's happened many times.
Who's pitching?
I'm sure in the last 100-plus years.
Is that good for velocity?
A 43
chilly, chilly rain?
The weather does look a lot better for Wednesday.
Oh, don't even start. What if Dick Flavin's out of town Wednesday?
Why do you keep bringing up Dick Flavin, may I ask?
He's been asked to do another poem for opening day.
Oh, has that been reported somewhere?
That's what I've heard, yes.
Is that breaking news from Scott Zolak?
No. No.
So Dick Flavin's reading a poem.
I think that's nice.
The Patriots are scheduled.
You think that's good for the sport?
To be there for the opening ceremonies, which begin at 1 p.m. tomorrow.
Which Patriots?
Gronk said he'll be there.
What?
Gronk said over the weekend
he's going to be there.
Pre-game or would be in a crowd? Or in a suite?
Said, I'll be there. This was the quote from an appearance he did Saturday, I think.
According to EEI, no Kraft, no Brady tomorrow.
Correct.
That's what they said today.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be there.
Would Kraft get booed or cheered?
Cheered.
Cheered.
I said it last week. Rod roll the dice and go out.
Why no Brady? Where is he?
I think he's in New York. He just posted something with his three kids.
No way you can make it back. Yeah. Not from New York.
That's too far. Too far. So
I think we've done this. You know,
it's true. They have. He's done it a number of times.
Come on, with a seven shirt on.
Well, the last one, or was that after four?
He had the five on.
That was the one with Belichick, Kraft, and Jonathan, and Robert, and Jonathan out there, all with the trophies. When he played a grab ass with Gronk, that was after the.
That was the last one.
Yeah, running around tackling each other. Frolicking in the waves, you know, like Rocky and Apollo. Yeah, I think they've been there, done that.
Pedro Gomez on ESPN writes about this Red Sox starting staff. Consider the numbers. The starter's ERA is the most glaring issue facing the club, and it is easily the worst in all of baseball. The Red Sox pitchers allowed more home runs through 10 games, being the worst start of any World Series champion.
Oh.
Since the stripped-down 1998 Marlins. So the Marlins won the World Series in 97. The roster gets completely gutted. And they gave up through 10 games. This is what it compares to in terms of home runs given up.
Was the GM on that team?
Dave Dombrowski. Who was the owner on that team?
Partial owner? John Henry?
Yeah, thank you. So Dave Dombrowski's 98 Marlins were the worst in this department. The Red Sox are right there with them. 3-8 is what they are so far. And here's what Chris Sale said yesterday. Or it may have been, I'm guessing it was yesterday. Can you tell the fans we've played exactly zero games at home this season?
He gets pissy, huh?
I mean, what is that?
I think he's the kind that could be agitated very easily.
So you as a fan have no right to offer up any level of concern about this team.
No.
Despite losing 2 of 3 to the Diamondbacks over the weekend. Because they haven't been home yet?
They haven't played a home game.
I'm not going to look stupid in 2 weeks. I'm hesitant to rip them. I am. I really am. Because I think they could get hot at home.
They absolutely could. And they've got bad teams lined up the same way they had a bad team this weekend.
See, this is where he puts himself under the microscope a little bit. Like, would you be chirping if your velocity was down almost 5 miles per hour, 6 per hour?
No.
And you're taking them on. It's going to be rainy and 42 on opening day, and everybody's going to be looking at the gun. That's what they're looking at. It's first thing. Well, that's my concern tomorrow. Speaking, is it really the Toronto lineup? No, it's that guy's velocity and how he pitches.
Speaking of that velocity, there is a scout offering up his take on what's going on with Chris Sale. I'll tell you what that is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bob Marley was from Jamaica.
Oh, but like, yeah, you're just recently in Aruba. I'm like, hey.
No.
Swimming out there past that buoy, and it's like, oh.
Scout thinks that Chris Sale is dealing with shoulder discomfort. That's the headline, NBC Sports Boston. Sean McAdam of the Boston Sports Journal recently spoke to a Major League scout who offered his take on Sale's performance. And he referenced that Sale's shoulder could be giving him trouble. Here's the quote. I know they're kind of slow playing Sale, and he's holding back a little with the, it says, velo. Can we just?
Velo. Velo.
They say velo?
They say velo.
What is velo?
Baseball reporters say it all the time. Velo.
Really? The velo?
What the hell are you talking about?
How's his
velocity?
Velo?
Oh.
How's his velo? They're holding him back a little with the velo.
Is that too hard to say, velocity?
Yeah, right. Like, what are we going to shorten that one up for?
Velo. Like, it's too elongated. Velocity is easier to say.
It's a cool baseball term.
He says, but watching him. There's a lot of shoulder involved in his delivery, and in the past, he was more free and whip-like, and he wasn't getting that same extension at the end. That tells me he's got some discomfort in that shoulder area.
Thanks, Mel Kiper. Like, well, positive strength, sweetness.
Unlike Mel Kiper, this is an actual scout. This is a guy who's working in baseball for a major league team.
He's probably 100% completely right.
Like, I wouldn't know what to watch. Scout, for all we know.
I wouldn't know what to watch, but I mean, they're watching his arm location, his slot, arm slot, all that stuff, leg kick.
But this particular scout is watching Sale and sees a difference in how he's throwing the baseball. And that difference has led him to believe that he's avoiding throwing the baseball with that whip-like motion.
Velo.
No, that's different. I'm talking about the motion, not the speed, motion. And that because of that, he's not getting that same extension, and he's pitching differently because possibly he's sore. And if he goes back to the way he typically throws, it's putting more strain on his shoulder, and he's hurting.
I believe it.
That's concerning.
That's what I hope is happening, right? Aren't you hoping for that? Not that you're rooting for injury, but there's a reason.
That would almost be better.
Yeah.
That if he were hurt, you could say, well.
Because if he ain't, you're in trouble.
He's hurt, and he's going to get healthy, and he's going to get back to full strength. There's, you know, it's rehab there. If it's just his arm is tired, then that's probably worse. So maybe in a strange sort of way, this is better. Kevin's at Springfield. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if you guys heard the Red Sox announcers when they were playing Arizona and Price was pitching, and they were relating his ineffectiveness to the fact that he had to actually run the bases and stand on a base, so it was too tiring for him.
What?
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
No.
No. Was that TV or radio?
No, the TV. They were both of these guys were kept relating to the fact that, you know, he had to expend so much energy standing on the base or in running the bases, that it was probably too much. You know, he was not used to doing that. So that probably related to the fact that he was ineffective in his pitching.
It was an eck.
So, Tom, you heard this. What was it about?
Maybe Price was too tired to pitch because he had to run the bases.
He ran the bases?
They did mention something like that. What? About when he got the RBI base hit.
Oh, my God.
He's not used to doing
this. So because he got on base, that just took so much out of him?
Yeah.
To having, oh, my, come on.
Yeah.
It was salty all weekend.
Is that who said it?
That's what. All right, cool.
They made mention of it. They didn't, like,
make a too big of a deal about it.
Oh, man. Well, that's not the player making the excuse. That's some the fanboy announcer.
So,
why does Nessen have such a problem finding anybody who doesn't suck when they have fill-ins?
Salter's terrible.
Oh, he's brutal.
He makes you not want to wait. It is.
Why does it always have to be some in-house fanboy former player? Oh. Gomes, Saltalamacchia. Like, these guys all blow. None of them say anything interesting. You would think that for all the years they spent in the game, they might have something interesting to say. They don't.
Maybe just conditions to be boring. I don't know.
It's bad. X not boring.
No.
X from a different time.
I'm saying fill in. I consider X one of the regulars.
No, but Zoe said maybe the conditions just make it boring, but I don't agree because X makes it interesting when he's there.
The regulars are.
You did it last week. Like, you're getting your ass kicked.
I look at Remy and X as the regulars, and then when they need fill ins for one of those two guys, it typically doesn't go well. It typically just doesn't go well.
Scheduling and money.
In fact, I would say that Red Sox broadcasts on both radio and TV have a hard time just filling the booth.
See, I think the problem is, too,
people that don't suck.
You make so much money.
Why is that?
You make so
much
money.
Why does this team have that issue?
Because you make so much money from the current, you know, last two decades to where you're sitting there and saying, you know, they're going to have to pay me this much money for me to get off my ass on my couch because I have so much money in the bank that I'm not really working to become a broadcaster, so I don't even know why I'd want to rep this.
I told you I like the new radio guy, though.
Yeah,
what's his
but that's
name?
A Josh broadcaster. Bullitt. That's not a former player, though. That's different.
No, he's better than a former.
I think Zoe's onto something. The guaranteed money, like over the last 20 years,
I mean,
in the
you're
game,
funded.
You got to go back to the old players to get guys that are actually working at it.
That Jared guys that still need to make a paycheck.
Lenny DiNardo. Yeah, I mean, Wake would get in there and do a couple, wouldn't he? I mean, but like you're around,
right.
you've rolled
through a lot of guys. Tim you've got rolled through a ton of guys.
You've got to want to do games, Gomes. Like to do it. Like that's okay. I need a career. I need a second career. Most of these other guys. Already got $30 million in the bank, like,
and it's true.
Like,
which
what
means
I got to move off my.
Which
couch
means now? The trickle down is the
what,
guys
sit with, there for 4 hours.
The guys with personality who are fun, like Kevin Millar, who wasn't a MLB. Great player, but he was memorable and people remember him. He ends up in a national gig,
right?
Because there's
from his
just
basement.
Yeah,
they because built a studio in his house. He doesn't leave the house.
There's just such a shortage of guys for the jobs. I guess maybe you're right, Zoe. Maybe that's what it is. Wouldn't you love to have Kevin Millar in the booth every game?
Yeah.
I'd love it.
I mean, even Lou. I mean, but I know he's it's you got to pick and choose.
It's,
and
you know what it is?
Make the
it's
commitment.
Who wants to commit to that life?
That's part of
as
it,
as a
man.
Former
I
player,
it.
Like, I don't really need this. I have other things I could be doing than traveling with a team for 81 games a year. I've been on the road. If you just wrapped up a career, you're like, I've been on the road for a decade. I'm not doing this still.
You're like an old, divorced, former player that's kids are like already like, out of the house.
Yes.
Steve Lyons.
Like the perfect scenario.
I would put him in the same category. They still have a problem finding the fill-in guys. They just have an issue with it. But that's sad. Like, Price gets on base, therefore he's having a hard time with it. Yeah. Barbara and Beverly with an apology today for Hardy.
Here we go.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, guys. How are
you? Hi, Barbara. How was your weekend?
Good.
Oh, it was okay. I just wanted to apologize to Hardy for what I said. I apologize to you. I'm sorry. I misunderstood the whole thing.
It's quite all right, and
I really
appreciate
feel
you
badly.
Calling. I appreciate you calling back. That was very nice of you.
I should feel
I
badly.
Feel very badly, so I just wanted you to know that.
That's
okay.
Okay. Thanks, Barbara. Oh, Barbara. That's very
okay.
Nice. That's very
take
nice.
Take care, you guys.
Okay.
Hi. Wow. Okay,
wow.
That's it.
That's it. Wow.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the tackle from Clemson, but.
Which one? You know anything about the tackle from Clemson?
Offense or defense?
There's three of them defensively.
Yeah, he's a freaking stud. The one. Who's the kid that got suspended for the bowl game?
Dexter Lawrence is the big guy.
Yeah.
340.
Fat guy that runs like
Christian Wilkins.
4'8".
And Cleveland Farrell's the pass rusher on the edge.
They didn't skip a beat when the suspensions came down. They just keep reloading, rolling guys out there.
Oh, they have so many guys. So many guys.
Hey,
They're probably getting three first-round picks.
We're going to go play some football.
Three first-round picks probably off their defensive line.
You know, I went down watching tail end of Joe Dirt again last night, and Joe went back to his house down in Louisiana. The Cajun guy with the pipe in his mouth, hey Mo, hey Mo, it's still that guy from LSU, the coach. Sounds just like him.
Ed Orgeron.
Ed Orgeron. Hey, I did a press conference. The guy from Waterboy. What the hell?
Oh yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
The Cajun guy. I'm Hame Hamall.
I can't help you on either one. I'm sorry.
I don't know the guy's name. He's just that Cajun actor. It's the only thing he does.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
That's a football coach, man.
Yes, it is.
Press conference.
Stop the ball. Stop the drill. I'm having a press conference. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's his own drill, right? That's
there
his own
you go,
team.
Barb. Now you get an update on the tackle from Clemson, all of them. There you go.
LSU can, they hire some beauts, don't they?
Have myself a press them up conference here.
Press them up.
Hold the ball.
They hire recruiters down
thank
there.
They're
thank
smart.
You.
They are so smart.
Please and thank you. Sounds odd coming out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome, coach.
I just screamed at
you. Sorry.
Aren't you the head coach telling us to practice?
All right, let's get to the headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. Fourth and final hour of the show, up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.